is Tricia Erdman, who is from Valparaiso University in Indiana. And I just wanted to point out that there have been all PhDs. This young woman is an undergraduate student. So what great. I think she's going to be the future HHS direct, you know, chief department head.
Good morning. I'm Tricia Erdman, and I'm an undergraduate student from Valparaiso University. Beyond the Volcanoes is a community partnership for health in rural Nicaragua. Before I begin, I would like to thank the Office of Institutional Advancement at Valparaiso University for the funding which has made this project possible. I would also like to thank the faculty, Dr. Amy Corey, and the two other undergraduate students working with me on the project, Rebecca Schmirmer and Catherine Thomas. I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation to disclose.
But are open to them.
According to the Pan American Health Association, health inequities related to gender, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and geography exist in rural Nicaragua due in part to the lack of access to health services. The purpose of community-based participatory action research is to promote health equity through a partnership between the researchers and the community with a goal of commitment to social transformation for improved health. Community-based participatory action research in health is a collaborative approach to research that equitably involves all partners in the research process and recognizes the unique strengths that each brings. The research begins with a topic of importance to the community with the aim of combining knowledge and action for social change to improve community health and eliminate health disparities. This research method involves six phases: partnership, assessment, planning, implementation, evaluation, and dissemination. An ecological approach to community-based participatory action research provides the conceptual foundation for the research. According to the ecological developmental theory, individuals develop in the environments in which they interact. Depending on the age of the person, these environments include the home, the school, and the community. Approval for the research project was obtained from Valparaiso University's Institutional Review Board. From the community perspective, approval was obtained from the Regional Health Authority. This slide depicts demographic data obtained from the key informants. There were 13 key informants who consented to participate in the research. Key informants were identified through Valparaiso University's previous relationship with the community, our community liaison, and an additional recommendation from previously identified key informants. The 13 key informants ranged in age from 31 to 52 years. 7 key informants were male, while 6 were female. The education level of the participants ranged from the completion of second grade to the 6 years of college. The key informants represented the following occupations: 5 healthcare providers, 2 teachers, 2 non-governmental organization representatives, 2 faith-based leaders, 1 politically appointed community health leader, and 1 engineer. As you can see, the majority of the respondents were healthcare providers. These healthcare providers included nurses, physicians, and community health workers. Community-based participatory action research is a cyclic and iterative process that promotes the development of a partnership with a community. Completing a community health assessment, using the data from the community assessment to define a plan of action in partnership with the community, evaluating the plan of action, and disseminating the information with the community. As you can see, the community partner is vital to the process of the community-based participatory action research and is essential to the sustainability of any project. The goal of community-based participatory action research is to do with the community rather than for the community. The research method was decided upon by community members. It is important that community members decide the research method such that it is culturally appropriate. Mixed methods were used in the community-based participatory action research project and included surveys, observations, one-on-one interviews, and community forums. Community members assisted key informants in mobilizing additional community leaders to participate in interviews. 13 key informants participated in the interviews. During the interviews, the key informants voiced that it was very difficult to prioritize their primary health concern. Thus, all healthcare concerns were recorded for a total of 39 responses. The primary health concern identified by the key informants was gastrointestinal ailments, followed by respiratory illnesses. This bar graph depicts the responses recorded from the key informants regarding their primary health concerns. 28% of the key informants verbalized gastrointestinal illnesses as the most commonly identified health concern. This was closely followed by respiratory illnesses, which were reported to be a health concern by 25% of the key informants who were interviewed. Because of Valparaiso University's existing relationship with the community members and the previous work in the community, community capacity building was able to be accomplished with ease. We were able to interview a diverse range of key informants to include the views and opinions of community members outside of the healthcare field. The ecological approach of community health assessment provided the framework for seeking partners in the research project. Due to the limited technological resources, for example, the internet and telephones, it has been difficult to maintain regular communication with the community. Our need for third parties to serve as translators also provided a limitation at times. These limitations were overcome to a degree with the involvement of an established partner who regularly communicates with the community members. In conclusion, gastrointestinal ailments and respiratory illnesses were the two primary health concerns identified by the key informants. In the assessment phase, the goal will be to refine the community health assessment tool created by the key informants and select community members and to implement the community health assessment survey. The survey will be implemented through home visits. Interviews will be conducted by nursing and pre-med students from Valparaiso University in partnership with community members. The students will be accompanied by nurses, community health workers, and translators from the community during the survey. After compiling all the information gathered from the key informants and community members, local healthcare professionals, educators, and engineers will be joining together to develop a plan to address the community's primary health concern. Thank you for your attention. Are there any questions?
Soon enough to do anything,
The first trip that was taken, we do have a previous relationship with the community, but the first trip that was taken for this research project was basically a windshield assessment and basically meeting with key informants to start forming the partnership. We did not want to have any preconceived notions about what we are going into because we want the community to tell us what their concerns are. Because of confidentiality, we can only say it's just a rural community in Nicaragua. Yes?
Had anyone done an environmental assessment of the area that you went to be to establish any knowledge of precursors of those conditions?
I do not have any statistics about the environmental conditions other than what we observed personally about when we went down to the community. Yes?
Are you going back?
Our team will be going back and will be consistently going back along with other students. We do feel it's important to have continuity in the students who are working with the community to develop that trust and relationship. Yeah?
And part of this, I know I asked you this the other day, part of this is funded by the university, and part of it is funded by the student, is that right?
We have funding through the Office of Institutional Advancement from Valparaiso University. The initial trip was about a week. We go by annually, so we have two trips. Usually in the fall it's about a week, and in the spring it's about 2 weeks.
I was wondering, since you say you're working through translators, how do you view this as impacting taking surveys? Because there is a lot of difference doing surveys through an interpreter versus doing surveys from a person of the community themselves.
Our translators, we do have an organization which we work with when we go down for our international service learning experiences, and the translators are through them, and we have established communication with them about the importance of really telling us what the community members are actually saying so we do get the most accurate information we can get.
Is there capacity within their system for their community health workers or people from the community themselves to do the interviews instead of...
All of the people that we work with, all the translators, are actually from Central America that go with us.
So from that specific community?
We,
if you're
yes.
If you're having capacity, that's all I'm asking. And so this doesn't sound right to say, but what are you offering that they're as for doing the surveys yourself rather than having community members doing the survey? Or I'll ask your advisor.
Can you repeat the question?
Well, since... If you have a capacity within the system for people from the community themselves to do the interviews, what does your participation offer that they don't have, as opposed to just building their own capacity to do this themselves?
That's an excellent question. One of the things that we looked at on the outset of this community-based participatory action research project in the partnership building was talking to key informants, the healthcare providers, in relationship to who do you want to do the survey. There's an overwhelming distrust of the health system, and the community health workers are a part of that health system. And so after sitting down and talking to them, they wanted the true data, and the true data was going to be in partnership with non-healthcare providers, non-healthcare workers, non-promotoras in relationship to health promoters. And so they wanted translators from the community to go out with our...
If I might follow up, what would happen if just the translators, since the translators are not, I'm assuming, are not health promoters, not part of the health system, so if just the translators went out to do the survey, would that also be possible? I'm just looking at the sustainability issue from a...
Well, the sustainability piece is interesting because from the health assessment perspective, certainly we're not trying to sustain future health assessment per se, but sustainability of the end plan. And so that's an excellent point, and that's something that we could probably implement in the future. But again, that would take more training on site, more trips down, more costs out of our end, which being a private liberal arts school in the Midwest is limited. So it's an excellent idea and something that we can certainly take under consideration. But feasibility is interesting. Our main goal is whatever plan that the community deems important to implement, that part is sustainable. And that's going to take community buy-in from all sectors.
Thank you.
Well, and right now you're giving them their workforce to do this.
We are. They're absolutely
there's nothing you can do about that. It's not like they're rich with men or women.
And largely an inaccessible community as well.
It's a question in the back.
Pardon?
Are you paying the translators?
The service in which we work during the meeting.
And I think also going back what she's suggesting, the main purpose also was not really just to empower the community to do and go continue this, but also it's a tool, it's something that the students want to learn. And if they put it in the hand of the translator and the hands of all the community, then the students will not be learning anything. And remember, you learn by doing things. And this is something that you will always remember, you will always apply and you practice, and I really applaud you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
We actually presented a poster on the education on the hood as well.
That was an excellent presentation. Future, who's the director of HHS? I mean, what's the title? I see these ladies in our future. We do have time for other questions. We're exactly on time. It's a miracle. And so are there any other questions for any of the other presenters? Yes.
I have a question for Dean Clark. In relationship to your comments about training or retraining, I don't want to put words in your mouth, nurses in relationship to prevention, how do you think that we might support that notion in education?
Thanks. And if you don't mind repeating the question.
The question was in relation to kind of retraining nurses not to adopt the telling mode and to work with people. I think it has to be an integral part of education, and I think it has to be incorporated early, probably sometime after they learn what they call skills. And I believe in that whole concept of students working with families, and I think when you work with high-risk families, you come to see that your agenda doesn't work, that other things are happening in the household and the community that drive behavior more than anything you could possibly bring in there. So I just think it has to be an integral part of education. No, they're not actual numbers. They're kind of what we think. It's the kind of the lowest level versus what it would take to get somebody to self-sufficiency. And what happens is that sometimes people get jobs, they lose their Medicaid, they want to get jobs, the job doesn't have health insurance, they fall below what they need to. And so it really is not, you're not really self-sufficient until you're quite a reasonably high income, where you can handle the blows of a little bit of loss here and there.
So related to that, where are those projected funds potentially coming from? Is that DHSS, Medicaid, all that?
Income.
Okay, so they're
It's a question.
Yes.
So two pieces there. There has been an effort to try to scale it up, and that hasn't been entirely successful. It's a very complicated recruiting process because we are specifically targeting people who are receiving state benefits, and that means that they have to be identified through state databases, but there's a whole confidential issue around that. So essentially we have to identify them through de-identified data, say, here's who we want you to identify, then the state agencies have to contact them and get outlier. So, and then you're right, the average, small numbers for averages in particular.
The other thing is, Wyoming only has 500,000 people in the entire state, so.
So
proportionately, you get a big number.
Was the health fund. We actually significantly improved people's rating of health, and that has continued through the longitudinal study. And believe that as people feel their health is better, that they are actually going to have more resources, energy to move forward. So there's a long ways to go for many of these families. They've got lots and lots working against them. But to see them actually feeling that they have more functional days, to see that they've rated their health up to a higher level, in our first study, statistically significant with a very small n, is very meaningful.
Okay. What a great session. Wasn't this fun? So here we are. We've got 5 minutes extra. I guess we can go check out. Oh, okay. Oh, I think you need a picture. Do you want, or to the beginning?
Do you mind taking
I would love to. I am a.
Well,
I think I left this. Did I leave something up here?
Did you leave this?
No, it would have been my actual
power. I started writing on it. Is
yeah,
that the
that's
one?
That's it. That's it.
All right, well, wait a minute. Let me see what's on the back.
You can keep it if you really need to.
Oh, I love that line. That's okay.
You can hold it?
Okay.
Good.
I can remember too much of the wrong kind of stuff.
Or do you want me the other
No, Trisha, Rebecca, Catherine.
You're in the middle.
Where
are we? Professor Corey, can you take Trisha's camera so you can do this?
Now, Amy, I would like to have one. Did I just
have
a moment?
I'm going to turn this away.
No. Oh. Earlier, faculty advisor is a little
technical.
When you get right down to it,
I take a picture of my
daughter
and approve it.
I approve.
Okay.
So now that'll be in the newsletter, probably the next one, which will be the winter newsletter. Yeah, here's the real.
You all will go with the public health because she has some.
All right. Okay. We had really thought.
What are the chances of getting the three of you to write up not more than 500 words total, just like a page, about your experience at APHA?
Okay,
we could do that.
Could you do that and ship it off to me
easy.
In the next? Yeah, okay.
Do you want the Stephanie? Do you need the flash on? The flash was taken off. Do you want me to?
I turned it back. I
got it.
She's in the
do you want me in the middle?
So in order or no?
That's not.
No, they know who you are. They kick you out. I know sometimes they tell you look like a student, but.
Do you guys want
the screen in this too?
Yes.
Because
you want the answer, right?
Not forever.
which is why we backed up.
I'll take
my
picture,
because there's three.
Surprisingly, you guys took a nice picture.
Hey.
We can one, two.
And we can
assess
our anemia earlier, which has even just iron deficiency without anemia has cognitive impact.
It's
perfect.
Thank you.
I'm usually pretty good at keeping my eyes open, not looking like I'm 500 pounds. I know.
Is your Spanish getting better?
Yes.
Yeah.
The problem is, I had gotten
to a very minimal improvement, but I was starting at basically zero, and I felt like.